What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Jordan Lee King. How are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Awesome. Glad to have you on, dude. Before we get into anything too much here, let's just kind of let us know where you're at right now. Busy maybe playing shows or writing. What are you up to?
Yeah, all of it, man. Got an album coming out here at the end of May, hopefully. That's what we're shooting for right now. Playing some shows and always writing. The writing never stops. So.
Hell yeah, dude. It's a good kind of busy, I'd imagine.
it's the best kind, yeah.
Right on. But just so people could get to know you a bit, let's kind of start the beginning here, man. You are from Eastern Kentucky, right?
Yes, sir. Middlesboro. It's in Bell County. I'm as far southeast as you can get.
Right on, dude.
If you've heard of Laurel Cove Music Festival, then you know. So.
Hell yeah, and we're going to talk about that too coming up. But I'm from Northern Kentucky. A lot of people just consider it Ohio. It's like 20 minutes from Cincinnati. I love talking to fellow Kentuckians. But I guess just kind of let us know when you first started up till now. Like, give us kind of a glimpse of what the scene is where you're from and like the community that you're playing in when it comes to like the music scene. Like how is that whole dynamic?
Yeah, man, I moved up to Lexington in 2017, and, you know, I've always been playing growing up and stuff, and moved up there, and the community is, there's nothing really to compare it to. Everybody up there was, it's like, they just kind of all take you under their wing, and any way they can help you, they can, and, yeah, the friends that I've made in the music industry here, it's just, first of all, I'm fans of theirs. You know, at the beginning of the day, like, I would listen to their music even if I wasn't, you know, friends with them. But, yeah, it's really cool to be a part of. And, yeah, man, I've just been playing my whole life, and it's all I really know how to do. And I'm this far down the road, I don't know what I would do if I had to quit today.
Hell yeah. And it's always, it's funny whenever I ask artists like the ratio of like camaraderie and community versus like the competition aspect, and I don't even ask it anymore because I feel like it's obviously there's friendly competition, that's in any kind of field, right? But it does seem like the community and like the culture is such an important thing, no matter if you're from Kentucky, Nashville, Texas, anywhere. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, man. You know, I went to school at Middle Tennessee State for college. I was there for like a year and dropped out. But in my short time there, you know, I tried to kind of get into the full songwriting scene and playing shows, but man, like it was so cutthroat down there. You know, and then there's 10,000 of me trying to do the same thing, you know, so it's really hard to get your foot in the door and get noticed, and there's just a tremendous amount of luck that goes into it, on top of you have to, you know, the songs and be good and stuff, but people underestimate the luck. But yeah, like I said, when I moved to Lexington, it was kind of just a culture shock because I had experienced the spectrum, and then kind of just going to the other side where it was like, man, what can I do to help you? Like, I can put you in touch with, I mean, I don't know how many people like introduced me to people that own bars, they got me the first gigs, and, you know, just gave me a chance to get on the stage, and, you know, and you kind of just got to take care of the rest.
So, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Nashville seems like I've gotten more and more familiar with it as I've been doing this and getting down there more. And it does seem very intimidating. And that's just for me, who's not an artist. Like I couldn't imagine trying to really like go at it down there. It just seems super intimidating, but it works when it comes to like the networking thing, you know, like you do meet like a bunch of people, which is like the kind of the key to the game now. Like, it really is, whether you like it or not, like in some cases, like who you know and who you can like, you know, connect with and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's critical. And like I said, you know, just meeting people that know venue owners, and then you get introduced through them. Yeah, networking is just, it's honestly one of the biggest parts of this. But yeah, I've been fortunate enough to meet a lot of incredible people that, you know, are down in Nashville currently. And you know, and So it's not all bad. I think, you know, I just kind of had a little bad taste in my mouth from the last time. But, you know, it may just also be the small town fellow talking and, you know, talking in me, so.
Yeah, for sure. But and what I kind of wanted to move on to now is, obviously, we'll talk about your sound for a bit, man. When I went and did a deep dive into your stuff, it's clearly, like, in my opinion, like that Appalachian influence for sure. And I love that. And I'm kind of, first off, I guess, how would you describe your sound? Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, it's funny. I get asked that question a lot. You know, always people are asking, you know, like, what kind of music do you play? And I never really have an answer to give them. I'm just like, man, I hope I just play good music.
Yeah.
I don't know. You can label it however you want. You know, you put it on the shelf, whatever you want to do. But yeah, I just try to write good songs, man. And I definitely had the influence of a lot of, you know, Appalachian musicians, and always found myself drawn towards the singer songwriters. You know, the John Prince and the Guy Parks and all those guys. And my parents were really good about listening to really good music. We always had something like that playing. And I think that's where it kind of all started for me, was I was like, man, these guys are just telling really good stories. And there's such an insight and connection to the human experience that, you know, I've not found anything that can replicate it the way that songwriting does. So that's just what I was always drawn to, man. And then I just do my best to replicate, you know, the things that learned growing from all of those people that I look up to.
Yeah, man. And you're right about like the genre stuff and putting labels, like, it doesn't matter anymore. And I think it's a beautiful thing. And that's great that, like, you do encapsulate other sounds and styles. And that's the key, I think, that makes artists stand out, you know? But at the same time, though, like, if you are put in that Appalachian kind of group, I think we're in a pretty good time to be in that group. I think it's popping more than it has in a long time. Do you kind of feel the same way about that?
I always tell people, I'm like, one of these days they're going to make a documentary about the music that has come out of just that this region of the country. I mean, even outside of Kentucky, you know, we've got up in West Virginia and North Carolina and Alabama and you know, up in the Cincinnati area. There's just the songwriters that here are just unbelievable. And you look around, like, is there just something in the water? Like, is it, I don't know what it is. I think it's just the culture and bringing, and it's, you know, music's such a huge part of Appalachian culture. You know, most people are raised in church where, you know, they're some of the best musicians you've ever heard. You know, it's the thing I love the most is I can go up any hall or here in the mountains and I'm going to stumble upon some little rinky-dink church and there's probably some old lady in there singing that's better than anything you would hear on the radio.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, to me, that's just something beautiful.
Yeah, 100% hit the nail on the head, man. And I guess now's a better time than any. Let's talk about Laurel Cove, man. So because speaking of like community and everything, like, I've never been, so I've never been there, and I've actually I've only recently heard about it, like maybe a couple of years ago. But man, I tell you what, I saw the videos. I've talked to people who have been there, and it seems like a real like a gathering, like almost like a religious experience just from the videos. Can you kind of give us like your experience and everything with that?
Yeah, it's just by far my favorite weekend of the year. It kind of is what it's kind of what the whole year is about, you know, for me. And part of it was it's in my home, and you know, we never thought we would have ever had anything like that here. You know, 15 years ago, if you would have told me Bell County would be hosting one of the nation's, you know, in like independent country music festival, I'd be like, that's so nice. But tell everybody, like, if you ever get the chance to score some tickets, it's incredibly difficult because it feels exclusive, but it's not. You know, when you get there, it's just incredibly hard to get tickets, and that's, I guess, maybe why it feels that way. But no, once you go there, it's just everybody's. It's, I've never been to a festival where artists are just walking around and you know, like, and just talking to everybody. And it is, it's just a big family gathering with 2,000 of your closest friends. It's just in the middle of the woods, man, and it's something I think everybody should experience. It's music from noon until midnight, and maybe you just can't beat it.
Yeah, it's and this and I'm not here to like plug Laurel Cove. I'm not. They haven't asked me to. I'm like honestly, I'm so fascinated by it because it's yeah. like I had a Jack Browning on not too long ago, and he played there, and he was telling me. I think his story was that like from where he parked to like get to the stage, like it took him forever because he was stopping and talking to everyone. People were talking to him. Like it seems like I don't think there's from what I've been to many festivals before, and I don't think I've seen. Anything like this like it seems like it's got that Woodstock vibe a bit like mm-hmm. Woodstock 60s Woodstock not 99 but yeah that's sweet man so you're looking forward to it I saw you're playing this year
yeah always man even if I'm not playing it I tell my managers and people they're booking I'm like listen even if I'm not playing it I'm gonna be there all weekend mm-hmm. As a fan because like I said at the end of the day before anything else. And yeah, I mean, just they're exceptionally skilled at getting people that, you know, and up and coming.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you just look at the alumni that have played or that have gone on in the national, you know, you got 49 Winchester and
I think like Red Clay Strays played, I think. Yeah.
And all the, you know, they were just. It's just explode.
Yeah.
It's incredible to get to see them in that setting before they, you know, you're never going to get to see them again.
Yeah. Absolutely. And like the live show is so important, at least from a fan. Let's dive into this a bit because so. I have always, just as a listener, and this is a fault of mine, I've always, when it comes to songs, I've always focused more on the, like, the musical, like, the instrumental element versus the lyrics. That's just always how I've been. So I've been, like, the past few years really trying to dive into, like, the singer-songwriter folks, like a lot in the Appalachian, like, region and stuff like that. And I think, at least in my experience, I have the easiest time to really connect and really be like, oh shit, I get it now, during a live set. And I'm wondering like kind of if like what do you think about like the live show element to being an artist? I think like the importance of it. I think that's like one of the most important things. I don't know if you agree or
mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean it's easy to go into a studio and after everything's really good, you know, and
yeah.
That's to me where I kind of separate artists is you know how good are you?
Mm.
You know, there's the whole the first concert I ever went to was Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, and I remember it just sounded like it was you would have thought somebody just had like a CD and was just playing it and they were like, because it was that good. It
yeah.
sounded just like the CD. I remember that kind of being the standard. I was like, man, this is how it's supposed to sound.
Mm.
You know, so every show that I ever went to was, you know, I don't want a live performance to sound exactly like the record, you know,
oh, yeah.
the creative freedom on stage and do things different. You don't ever want to play the same song the same way.
Mm.
You know, but yeah, man, the live element just brings so much more to songs and, you know, when you're in the crowd and there's 300 people all singing the same mm-hmm. words, and you know that's being in the crowd, watching, you know, my friends play, and just seeing everybody. I mean, it's a spiritual experience, you know,
yep.
is what it feels like.
Yeah, for sure. And then let's talk a bit about the other side of it, like when it does come to the writing and recording and stuff like that. Do you find yourself when you write, or like I said, if you're like recording or anything like that? Do you find yourself experimenting a lot at all, like with different sounds and styles? Like we talked earlier about how you are like a mixture of different styles, mm-hmm. at least in my opinion. And do you find yourself like consciously doing that? Like, I want to try this. Or is it like very natural and it just happens? Like how do you navigate that?
I mean, yeah, sometimes it's both. Yeah. Sometimes you just wake up one day and it feels natural. And then some days it, you know, and sitting there running a big against the wall. I think I don't ever try to tie myself down to a certain way of playing the same way that I don't want other people to do it to me. And I think, you know, as an artist, you're always supposed to be kind of pushing the envelope of, you know, even just your personal boundaries of, you know, what you are comfortable with doing. But, you know, as an artist, you want to grow and evolve your sound, but it's such a fine line between kind of almost becoming like a new artist, but still staying, you know, true to your roots and, you know, all of that stuff. It's like, you know, I always use the band MGMT management. You know, when everybody thinks of them, they think of the kids album, and that's what they want. They want every single time that they put in. I'm like, you can only get that once. It's one thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like Tyler Childers with Purgatory. It's like, it all wants that again.
Like some that. People like stop listening after that.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Like, he made it and just appreciate it. And whatever he makes in the future, appreciate it, you know?
Yeah. And I think if you're a music fan and like you do think like that, which I think everyone has at one point in their life, they all like that one album. They hate that they changed it up until, like, you know, of course they like mature and listen to other stuff. But if you think, I like to think of albums and EPs and everything, that's like a moment in time, kind of like how you were saying, like that came and went, and that's easier to kind of, you could like that moment in time better than anything else he's done. But like, it shows what artists like really have the juice and are able to, you know, progress and do other things. And I think that, like, even like think of the biggest mainstream acts. I mean, like, I was just thinking, like, Hardy comes to mind, and he's like very mainstream, huge artist. Like, he went from country to rock, and like, whether you like Hardy or not, I don't know, but like, it was successful either way. And it shows that there's like a big audience for all of that. Like, I love when artists are down to like change things up a bit, but they still sound like them.
Right. And that's the other thing about just life in general, man, is just not taking it too serious.
Yeah.
And doing stuff like that. And, you know, if you want to make, you know, if you're a country artist and you want to go make a rock album, go do it, man. There's nobody stopping you from it. And yeah, I mean, I think success is very subjective, because success means a lot of things to, you know, it means something different. You know, for me, is making something that I feel is authentic and genuine, and then that's all. You know, the rest follows. If you make something you're good, that you're proud of, and you feel is good, then the rest takes care of itself, you know?
Yeah, and you kind of you hit the nail on the head there earlier when you said, like, I think a big part of it is like not taking yourself too seriously. And like, I mean, like, my favorite fucking band's Limp Bizkit, so I don't take anything seriously, you know? So like, I love when a guy like Sturgill Simpson goes and puts out a disco record, you know? And like, it's, I don't know, you're always, it's a tale as old as time with the people who complain about that. Like, I think the worst thing to be is a music snob. Like you're just not having fun.
Yeah, and listen, I used to be guilty when I was like in my early 20s. I was, you know, anytime anything country came on, I was like, turn the radio off. Now I'm just like, listen, just because I don't like it doesn't mean that I need to take it out. Everybody else that does. There's clearly people that like it, you know, because at the end of the day, there's certain artists out in arenas, so you can't really talk much, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not going to complain if I'm, like, out boozing during, like, a summer day and FGL comes on. I mean, that's just a fun time, you know what I mean? Yeah. But that's awesome, man.
We've kind of, I mean, some of my guys are actually talking about the whole, you know, the dead rock.
Yeah.
Music,
oh, yeah.
You know, like Three Doors Down, Nickelback, and Free, and all those bands. It felt like people were making fun of them because it was like a novelty almost.
Yeah.
I'm like, think of how many times you've had a really good time listening to Nickelback. Like, Creed comes on and everybody sings. And like, maybe we don't have to dissect the lyrics.
You don't.
Maybe there's no hidden a song, which is just a catchy song, and that can be enough, you know?
Yeah, and there's no, I mean, I think Nickelback, like, is one of the best-selling artists, like, of all time. Like, clearly people like it, you know? Like,
no, like the center of the meme culture, you know? Like, just getting, it was, like, lame to listen to them.
Yeah.
What did they do?
Yeah, it's like the Guy Fieri effect. Everyone hated him for a while. It's like, what the fuck did Guy do? He didn't do anything.
He just went around the trying to get on TV.
Yeah, selling his donkey sauce or whatever the hell it was. Yeah. But that's awesome, man. Do you co-write a lot? Do you ever collab or write with anyone? Or are you more of a solo guy?
I'm more of a solo guy. I've got a couple people that would be willing to try with. I'm just not very... I'm very green, you know, writing with somebody else, and quite frankly, I'm probably not very good at it, because I'm a little bit of a, I am kind of a selfish songwriter, and I think what I mean by that is I'm just very attached to my ideas.
Yep.
Not that I think anybody else's ideas are worse than, it's not anything, it's just that I kind of know what I want to say, a very specific way of saying it, because that, to me, is probably my biggest thing with songwriting is it's not what you're saying, it's how you're saying it. Mm-hmm. You know, that to me is the most important thing. And sometimes I just have a very specific way that I want to get point across. And
yeah.
Sometimes people just don't have the same, you know, process as me on that. And that's kind of been my biggest roadblock with that, you know.
I gotcha. But, and like, there's no like right or wrong way to do it. And I'm glad you did use the term like selfish songwriter, because I think, I mean, songwriting, like it's a very personal thing. Like it's your story you're telling. Yeah. I mean, like you kind of have to be selfish. You know what I mean?
It's one of the times where it is okay to be like, listen, I'm going to go with my gut and my brain on this one, you know, and it has nothing, like I said, it's, you know, there's so many great songs and songwriters out there that even listen to a song and be like, I said this right here. But what they said was also great too. Like,
yeah.
There's no right way to do it. And that's my favorite thing about songwriting is, you know, I spent a lot of time thinking that there was this, there was an answer. I spent so many years looking for the key to it. And you just realize there's not one. You just sit down and you get, you figure out, you know, better ways to say things and listen to good songwriters. That's the best way to do it. You know, listen to what a good songwriter sounds like. And, you know, and just try to emulate, you know?
Yeah. And I'm not super knowledgeable on how, like, it works when, like, you're, like, the songwriters. Thought process and stuff when they write, but I'd imagine the thought might come across your mind some when you are being, you know, selfishly writing, aka writing what you want to write, you know, and like what you want to write, what you want to put out. And then do you ever have like another thought like, but man, I don't know if this will connect with the audience, or is that something that you never think of and you put out what you want? Does that make sense? Like, is there ever, like, do you ever like wrestle with that thought ever?
Yeah. It's kind of hard to feel like you want to write for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you also want to write for the people listening, you know. I definitely kind of worry more about writing for myself.
Yeah.
And I think part of that's just being your own worst critic is kind of just naturally happens. And, you know, there's a lot of days where I sit down and I write something and I just sit down and write, that was horrible. You know? But that sucks. So that's when I write songs for myself mainly, and I just hope that, you know, that people can connect to them. And most of the time you learn that when you put something out, you know, if you write a song about something you're dealing with, that there's probably somebody else out there dealing with something pretty similar.
Yeah.
And as a songwriter, the way that as a listener, when you hear a song, and it kind of makes you feel so alone. And it's also the same for, it's the same on the
mm-hmm.
you know, songwriters, when we write songs and we find so many people coming up and being like, you know, that that relates to me so much. I have a family member that went through something like that. And it's the same feeling for me. It's like, wow, so I'm also not the only one going through that. And
it's, yep.
It gives both ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. And that's actually exactly what I was going to ask you next is how, like, when you do write something so personal and put it out, and you might think, like, this is like my thing that I went through. And when someone does come up to you and like it does connect with a stranger that you never met, like, I'd imagine that has to be like top three feelings being a artist. Like, that has to be up there.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, a guy told me that, you know, he drove down to the beach and was in the ocean because of that. But I was like, that's
wow.
This, I mean, regardless of what anybody believe, I just having an impact on somebody to, for them to do something that is important to them is yeah. I mean, it almost makes you kind of tear up just because you talk about, you know, this. It is, music is the, to me, it is the great bridge to everybody. It is the thing that bridges generations together, different cultures together, different people together. It is, it's just the greatest thing.
Yeah, 100%, man. But, dude, before we get out of here, let's talk about, I know you mentioned some new music. What can you tell us about what you got coming out?
Yeah, man, I got an album coming out next month. It's called King of the Bluegrass. I'm very excited to get it. We've been working on it for quite a while. It's supposed to already be out, but we had to go back in and put another song on there per demand of people that had heard it. So we pushed it. So hopefully everybody's fine with that because they wanted the song, so we had to kind of extend the deadline a little bit. But yeah, I'm excited to get it. I'm really proud of the songs. We recorded them in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm very excited. Really proud of the work that the guys that were in the studio with me did. I just come in with a skeleton, you know, I just come in with the words and the chords, and they do everything else. They give it my man. So as much as it's me writing the lyrics, they're the ones that make the song. So
hell yeah, dude. I'm hype. I can't wait to listen. I'm fairly new to your music, so it was an honor to really be able to dig in and listen to all your stuff, man. And thanks for hopping on, dude. This was great. I'm glad we could make this happen. But also, before we go, where can people find you? Like, do you have like a website, social media, just so people know where to follow you?
Yeah, social media, Jordan Lee King, you know, Instagram, TikTok, all the Facebooks, Twitter, and all that stuff. Yeah, just, you know, give me a follow and keep with me and see where I'm going to be. And you know, tell me where you live. We might come there and play some music, you know.
Hell yeah. You guys make sure to do that and keep an eye out for that album too. And also check out Rowdy Alternative, Raise Rowdy. We're on everything as well. Google us, we'll show up. So Jordan, again, thanks for hopping on, dude. Thanks everyone else for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
My boots look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips.